Welcome to the show, it's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here, let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online, it's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello!
Hello!
Hello.
Welcome to the Brother Stream Show. I'm Simon.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Andrew.
And tonight, or this morning, or this afternoon, depending when you're listening, we're in Andrew's house.
Yeah, look, I'm not sure how I feel about this.
This is exciting for so many reasons.
It's exciting for me because I've never been to Andrew's house and we've been friends for years.
Yeah. No, you are welcome, but just don't touch anything.
It's weird because saying I'm welcome doesn't necessarily make me feel welcome. Yeah. I like to feel it inside.
You are welcome.
So I went to the bathroom just now.
Yeah, I was very unhappy about that.
If you must
bathroom
know.
Bathroom startings.
I went for a wee. Yeah. Just to give you the context.
Was it first floor or second floor?
I generally thought you meant, did you pee in the bowl or in the bit at the top?
I peed in that bit at the top, but it would be a good way to save water.
Yeah, would be a very good idea. Anyway, I went there and it was quite neat. And then I've also realized your lounge is quite neat, and it seems like you might actually be a neat person.
No, I'm not. Claire is very neat.
Okay.
And it takes everything in my being to try and keep up.
When people come around, often you have the desire to clean up. You kind of go, oh, they're coming around soon.
Yeah.
I'm going to put all the stuff that's normally out here away, and so it's going to be nice and neat and tidy. Which is weird, because you're kind of lying to your friends. It's like, welcome. This is who I'm not.
Yeah. Well, check you can see, I mean, we do have some washing out that was drying earlier, but I just shifted into the other room so that it's not part of this conversation.
Okay, so you did do some work in this room.
Speaking of the washing, are those pink kind of pajamas yours or Claire's?
No, those would be mine.
Right.
Yeah.
Does she know that we're doing this at your house?
Yes, she does.
Because I was going to say, as a kind of avid listener, somebody who's been outspoken about certain rounds wanting to keep in, etc., wouldn't it be creepy if she didn't know, or we started like talking about things that she starts listening and going, hold on, what are you talking about, that particular table, that lampshade that's kind of blue?
Especially if she's in the room
where
we're in while she's listening, and we start going, oh, the bag of wood that's outside the fireplace, shouldn't that be outside?
Guys, she goes, I'd like to keep your comments on my home to a minimum. I don't want people to know where I live and the state that I live in, which is a good state. But I don't want people to know that. I don't want the mystery to be ruined for them.
You think there was a big mystery out there?
Yeah.
So people are listening going,
but there is, as soon as you say there is.
I wonder how Andrew lives. I hadn't even wondered that myself, and I'm pleasantly surprised.
Oh, good.
I'm quite a tall guy, not as tall as Andrew.
No,
Andrew's obviously ginormous, but I'm pretty tall. And when I had finished my said urination adventure I walked back down the stairs and almost hit my head on kind of the top of the staircase. Now
that's going to be a problem surely for Andrew.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Does he just crawl up the stairs every day and night?
It's all about technique. And I've learned actually quite successfully without even one incident of banging my head on the ceiling.
I'm quite surprised that you haven't gone for like a themed house because you are very tall and obviously by comparison everyone else is short, but Claire's particularly short.
Yeah.
Why didn't you go for the kind of hobbit house from The Lord of the Rings? You could wear a big grey coat, walk around bumping into things.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I think basically that was our plan, but then when we moved in, the door wasn't round, and so we just left it there.
At some stage, though, could you at least amend your front door to have a door for you and a door for her?
Like a nice tall door, a nice slightly smaller one.
A door inside the Claire flap.
I wouldn't call it that.
Inside the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another tiny door for tiny baby girl coming along.
Yeah. I've actually guessed the name already.
What? Surely not.
Yeah, I have.
Because you guessed when they were pregnant, too.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be good with the name.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's going to be Andrea.
Andrea?
I'm just putting it out there.
But he's Andrew.
I know, but it's close, but I think...
I don't think that's
I think it's
happen.
In that realm.
I think what you've said one that's probably not going to happen out of all the ones that it could have been.
Well, you say that, but there's something nice about, you know... Out there in the world, there's this band, and a member of that band is Andrea Kerr.
Yeah.
So to have an Andrea Kerr would be quite nice, you know, a little counterpart, a little South African
you
version.
You mean the cause?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think she says Andrea like that? Isn't that an Afrikaans way of saying Andrea?
I don't think she's Andrea. Andrea Kerr. No, never.
Andrea.
Andrea Kerr. Well, if you're listening, any member of the cause,
yeah,
Just write in and let us know how you pronounce that.
I know Jim was the brother.
Do you know that Hanson's Umbop is 20 years old today?
Oh, my word.
That makes me feel very old.
This very day?
I think this very day.
Goodness
gracious. Or at least this very year.
Where were you, hey?
Where were you when Umbop happened?
Yeah.
I would have listened to it via my sister's tapes, I guess. She was probably more into Hanson. Well, she was because she was a girl and they were appealing to girls for some reason. Three guys with like really long hair who sang like women. It's interesting that they then appealed to women and not to guys.
Yeah.
The big confusers, Hanson.
But I remember distinctly watching Oprah once and they were on Oprah.
Once.
Well, no, I watched Oprah more than once. I'm not, you know, opposed to remembering my spirit and joining her book club. But the I remember distinct, there was a scene that they had where Hanson got trapped in a lift and we were forced to listen to Umbop for. And I was like, a little skit on Oprah.
That's quite good.
Yeah, it was very good.
It's like something you'd see on the late night shows now.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
My Chewbacca. Can't do it.
I came up with an idea for a little animated skit today.
Yeah.
Actually, it was yesterday, if I'm really honest.
Okay.
But, you know, you just use your imagination. Pretend it's today.
Well, it depends when you're listening to this, too.
Yeah. This is now very confusing.
Well, either way, pretend it's today.
Yeah. One day.
Yeah, one day, I had this idea. I thought it could be quite funny to have a scene in an emergency room, like where people are sort of sitting next to each other, lined up to get treated by the doctor. You know, it's a bit late at night and everything. And there's one guy who has a big bandage on his head and has quite clearly got like blood spilling like through the seeping through the bandage.
Okay.
He's sitting next to another guy who looks kind of normal. And there's one guy at the bandage is talking to this other guy going like, oh my word, my injury is so hectic. It's like very like sore and tells him how it happens. I give him all the details, the gory details. Other guy very, very quiet.
Mm.
And he goes like, what are you in for? You look quite normal. And there's a little pause and the guy coughs. And as he coughs, his eyes pop out.
I see why it has to be animated. I was wondering until that end.
I think, you know, a little 1 minute little animation, I think it'd be quite fun.
That's a good idea.
That's good. But I mean, what is wrong with him? Let's dissect this.
Well, he's got a bad case of optical poptitude.
Okay. That's a great name. That's the name of the short, Optical Poptitude.
That's fantastic.
You don't put it up at the beginning. That gives it away. You put it up at the end. Optical Poptitude by Simon Vague.
He finds those novelty glasses with the eyes on springs very offensive.
Yeah.
Like, if you only knew, you wouldn't be wearing them. Okay. I had an interesting flat hunt search today on my way here. This is why this is starting late, which makes no sense if you're downloading it at another time. It was for a place kind of near here and arrived, and there were a couple of other people there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you know, kind of dwell, kind of feel like pigeons waiting for bread to be thrown down eventually when you go to these viewings, but you're early and people start gathering around and no one really talks to each other because you don't want to like the other people because they're your enemies.
But are you waddling? Like, what else makes you a pigeon? I'm trying to figure out why you put yourself into the...
I'm just trying to think of what other creature mindlessly gathers around.
Maybe like sheep gathering in a pen before being let out.
Yeah, that, or before being taken to the slaughter. So we waited for the guy. The guy showed up. He phoned another number. So it's the agent, basically, was arriving. And he phoned the owner to say, we're outside, let us in.
Yeah.
The owner said, well, I couldn't hear the other end of the conversation, but I think one could put the dots together. Oh, crap, that was today. I'm in Greenpoint. To which the agent said, oh, no, really? I've got like 10 guys here. Well, there were like three of us. Nice trustworthy agent.
Yeah.
And he basically turned to us and said, I'm really sorry. There's no viewing today.
Oh, wow.
We'll reschedule.
Could you not at least...
Fortunately, this is where
one of the group was a criminal and broke in.
Actually, there was a girl who was somehow in, but only in the one, you know, the gate that like lets you onto the premises, but then not into the actual flat.
Okay.
So she must have gone in when someone else went in and went, well, I'm going in for the viewing. And then got left there. And so she couldn't get back out.
No.
She was
stuck. Which was great. So then the agent's asking the owner, is there any way to like let this person out? Because she's stuck on the inside. Then this guy, Blast from the Past, Gus ta-ta-ta-ta-ta.
Hey.
That's me miming drum stick noise. Yeah. Because
not just being vulgar.
His name has now become Gussie. and then you kind of show like you're drumming because he's a drummer.
You're going to say because he's a Gus.
Because he's a Gus drummer. So Gussie came past.
Well, he's changing. Turns out he lives there every time.
Yeah.
Okay.
He lives in this block. So while everyone else left, I got like a private viewing of his block, which is directly beneath the one that I was meant to view.
Nice.
And if it's anything like that, it looks like a nice place. But that's not good enough, I think, to
go
on.
Why don't you get Gus to go upstairs, put an offer in that place, and he can rent the upstairs place because it'd be easier for him to go to the viewing.
Yeah.
Then you just rent out Gus's place.
I didn't think of that. That's a great idea. Yeah. I'm going to text him right away.
Thanks.
So on Saturday, Claire had a baby shower.
Ooh. Oh, cool.
And
were you invited?
What? I was not invited.
Okay, because the new generation, sometimes you invite the man now.
Yeah, I think if it's your second child, the men are like allowed to hang along, you know, come along.
I don't have a child, so, and I'm not married, so I'm kind of distant from this whole thing. Is that where they put like the girl in the middle of like a field in a raincoat almost, or like, you know, and they just hurl babies at the girl from all angles, like a circle of people around.
Yeah, I mean,
and the one that they catch, they keep.
It depends what side of the
is that still of the baby shower
you're on.
No, I think what they do these days is they take the girl and they dress the girl in nappies.
Yeah,
and then they take her and put her in like a little kind of plastic tub, and then they get just like water in like an old shampoo bottle or something and just pour it over her. Mm-hmm. She sometimes might poo in the tub and cry and everything.
So
but
she's
that kind of a
was baby one shower. Of those?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wasn't there, so it might have been.
Right. Might be both.
Did she not tell you afterwards?
No, and there was a distinct look of shame. So, no, I'm kidding. No, so she had the baby shower, and we were thoroughly spoiled by friends and family.
With what kind of things?
Nappies,
were
clothes.
Were they your size?
Nappies, clothes, trinkets.
Trinkets?
Lotions.
Okay.
A mobile. My mom made a castle out of nappies.
Wait, did you just say a mobile?
Yeah.
Isn't your baby going to be too young to use a phone?
Yeah, you've got to get them started early. So while she was having her baby shower, I was taken back to my folks' house.
Okay.
And it was me, my dad, my father-in-law, my grandfather was along for the ride.
And you were put in the crib and sung songs to you.
No, and they had a kind of
man shower,
I guess. Okay. Which involved gifts as well.
Right.
And each gift had a kind of a little like saying on it that I could open and be given wisdom and be given it was quite cool. Some of the gifts though were literally things that they found at the back of the cupboard and just made like a play on words.
Example.
Like example, you're gonna need to bounce ball.
Okay.
That's good though.
You need to be flexible, elastic bands.
Was there any...
You're going to need to recharge two of those enormous D batteries that nobody can use anymore because nobody has boom boxes.
Was there any kind of sense of your dad going, you know, a kid can be a real hassle, a real pain in the ass. You're like, Dad, this is awkward. I'm your kid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the first couple of years, you really feel like, did I make the right choice?
Yeah.
and then my grandfather's like, me too. No, there's none of that. It was fun.
All right. That's pretty cool. So were you at all jealous? Because often what happens in these moments... is, I'm assuming, Claire was showered with presents, you were showered with presents, but those presents weren't really for you, they were for unborn babies.
Yes,
were you kind of like, oh, why is Andrea getting all the gifts? Why am I not getting anything?
I'm a very jealous person, and so I as soon as we got home, I just burnt everything that I couldn't fit into.
But some of those gifts sound like a choking hazard until... Andrea is three, so
I know,
you get to play with them for a good 3 years. You can bounce the ball, shoot the elastic at Claire.
Well, everything I was given was pretty much a choking hazard for a baby, but nothing that Claire was given was. Okay. So.
Did you also used to, this is a weird thing that I used to do, seeing if you guys did it as well, did you ever, like, you know, chat to the postman in the street and get elastic bands from him.
No.
No. What are you talking about?
That's weird.
Is that weird?
It's quite weird. It's kind of the direct opposite of don't talk to strangers yeah. and like take things from them.
I don't
It'd
know.
Be one weirder if it was like a candy truck.
Yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't candy. It was elastic band.
But you and obviously were excited about the elastic bands.
I wanted to get elastic bands.
Exactly. So the concept's the same.
But I don't
Some
know what...
Some kids wanted candy. You just happened to want elastic bands.
But I don't know what made me think that... I thought it was a normal thing because I don't know what would have made me go, oh, the postman has elastic bands.
What were you doing with the elastic bands?
I think just using them to like make catties and shoot people with and just generally play with, you know, elastic band can, you know, while away the hours.
When,
really.
Yes. When the postman handed you the elastic band, how long did it stretch to before he let go?
Yeah, he rides off.
So you never did this, and did you have any friends that did this?
Definitely no. not.
Okay, well, I already need to investigate this because I thought it was quite a common thing.
I collected Scooby-Doo wire from Telcom, I think.
Oh, yes, I did that as well.
That was something everyone did.
From Telcom?
Yeah. Well,
how did you get to Telcom?
You went to the Telcom place. There was one near our house, sort of.
Okay.
And I think they had offcuts of whatever that wire was, that slightly insulated colored yeah. wire that you could make... I guess you just made figure of eights out of and then put them in an ice cream tub.
No, you could make bangles.
And took them to school. I made the figure of eight, so I was like stockpiling.
Okay.
And then I'd get bangle makers to make the bangles. Yeah, they were like different degrees. I was a hunter.
Yeah. Had a supply chain.
Yeah, and others would make. Others right. would craft.
I bet you would have, you know, killed for an elastic band though to go around.
I think what I ended up doing with Scooby-Doo wire is, if anyone doesn't know what Scooby-Doo wire is, they're not going to know it. I mean, I don't know where that got that name from.
It's just very thin electrical wire with a different color.
With a slightly little colorful plastic kind of casing.
Yeah.
And I would just use them at first to gather. I think it was almost like having marbles. Like those who didn't play with marbles but just had marbles.
Yeah.
It was like having a collection of something was cool enough. You didn't have to do something with it. So you had like a tub of Scooby-Doo wires, and then you started getting people who would make stuff with them. And then as you got a bit older, and we're probably going through this the time when you'd throw away all your Scooby-Doo wires, suddenly making things like electronic was cool. Mm. And Scooby-Doo wires were like awesome now because they're exactly what you needed to connect tiny batteries to tiny motors.
Did you ever go through like the ball bearing like stage?
I think in amongst my marble collection, I had maybe eight ball bearings.
I remember that being quite a big thing. I don't even know what a ball bearing is. I don't even know what you'd use it for outside of marbles.
Yeah.
You know that its primary function is not to be a marble.
Yeah, I'm guessing it is. In the same way a Scooby-Doo wire's primary function is not to be a bracelet. But I don't really know what you would use a ball bearing for.
Did either of you ever play marbles? Like actually sit down and play marbles?
At my high school,
once or twice.
My junior high school.
My junior school, we definitely did play marbles. Well, I played marbles once or twice. I can't really remember how you even played it. I think it was just mainly throwing your marble at another person's marble. It's like a violent version of bowls, but a lot tinier.
But almost impossible.
Yeah.
I think we had a thing where they banned marbles from the school because people were digging marble pits into like the good cricket pitch. So like you had this cricket pitch that obviously had to be well maintained.
Yeah.
All these little brats like running out. You'd run when that first bell went to get to the field first so that you could be in the marble pits. It was like the boss of the pits. And then everyone would gather around. And it seemed to be just throwing a marble so it would land in a hole. That was like, I guess, volume-wise, 500 times the size of a marble. Super easy. But anyway, I lost most of my marbles.
Yeah, now you get the Marble Cinematic Universe. So
it started small. The fields of our dreams.
Switch.
Flop.
Flop.
Switch. Flop.
Welcome to Switch Flop. This is the round where I'm going to be hosting. So Simon and Andrew will be arguing topics on various sides of that topic. When I say switch, the argument will switch from Simon to Andrew and vice versa. When I say flop, the person speaking will change their opinion entirely.
No,
A 180 degree turn.
Are you going to have... such fickle opinions.
Massively fickle. But you will back them with all of your soul. Okay. And when I say the prized Switch flop, that is a Switch player and flop of opinion.
All right.
And mentioning the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I'm going to start with this, Andrew.
Yeah.
You can start by saying that Marvel is better than DC.
Right, well, Marvel is a lot better than DC, and I do believe that truly in my heart, because...
because they just are. For example, Marvel, you marvel at something, whereas DC stands for disconnected. No one likes it when you're on the internet and you get disconnected. But in terms of comics, though, obviously DC is better. I like my comics dark. I like to know that a lot of black ink went into printing my comics.
Switch.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, if you take Superman, for example, now let's put Superman against Spider-Man, all right? He's just going to burn him up with his eyes. And, like, there's absolutely no chance that Superman has in this fight, because Spider-Man will get him with his web. He'll go... He's way quicker than Superman's eyes. Superman's probably getting old.
Yeah, I mean, Spider-Man, if anything, should become the new Superman. He should defeat Superman and take on his name, because, like, is there anyone better than Spider-Man? Oh, wait, probably yes. Probably all the other characters in the Marvel universe.
Switch
because
flop.
Marvel is...
the worst. DC is so much better. Batman is just... he's a self-made man, you know? If you take Batman and you put him next to, I don't know,
flop.
That dude from the movie with Chris Pratt. He's amazing. Everyone loves him. Everybody hates Batman. He's so gloomy.
End.
I thought that we argued that pretty well.
I know. I did panic at the end with what's that flipping movie?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Why did I pick that one? The longest name.
I feel like that's quite decisive. We might want to post a link to that little argument on all the online arguments about Marvel DC.
Just confusing.
Go full stop.
Yeah. So outside of the round, so you generally think Marvel's better?
Yeah, I definitely prefer Marvel just because it's a bit lighter.
And though?
It's probably say Marvel too, although I do like Batman. I don't find Superman very exciting at all.
I think it's actually that first Superman movie really put me off. Like, I know, like, the Batman movies are incredible.
Shame. Christopher Reeve can't really walk anymore.
No, not that one.
Yeah, that's quite harsh.
That's really hectic.
Yeah, that's dark. Just
okay,
like
cool.
I don't mean the movies. I mean the character. He has a character that can do absolutely everything all the time.
I also remember...
Why put him on a team?
Yeah.
He doesn't need to be on a team.
But that's the same with Marvel, with Viz or whatever.
Vision.
He can do... Yeah, but they call him Viz.
They don't call him Viz.
They do call him Viz.
Scuba divers call him Viz.
Who's calling him Viz?
It's in the movie. I just saw it. They call him Viz for short.
Do they?
That's why I was like, wait, Viz. I don't remember him being called, what's his name? Viz. And then they say Vision later.
I think they say Vision throughout.
No, they don't.
Well, I'll have to trust
Maybe
you.
Maybe your sound cut off halfway through that line.
Yeah. Yeah, knowing our cinemas. Yeah.
No, but I remember, I had a lot of comic books, but they were mainly Asterix and Obelixes.
Okay.
And I had one Superman comic, and there was something quite dark in it, which I don't remember now. But it kind of stuck with me and was unsettling. But I remember being unsettled by this thing. I think it involved a skeleton.
Okay.
And I didn't watch a lot of horror as a child. So, yeah, no, Marvel.
All right. I'd probably also go for Marvel for the exact same reasons.
You, as a child, were disturbed by Superman.
I still can't sleep because of that skeleton.
Yeah.
At the end of that, I'm going to give a point to Andrew. Because
cool.
Even though you faltered at the end and made no sense, I like the idea of Spider-Man putting webs over Superman's eyes to defeat him. Like, he couldn't get just blast through that.
I think if you can keep the eyelids closed, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Round two, if he laced his webbing with kryptonite. Round two is because... the local laws, or the laws of local music on radio now. I know there's a more eloquent way to say this, but I don't feel like it. We're gonna discuss that local music is better than international music. Simon, start us off.
All right. Well, I mean, it's obvious that local music is better than international music for the following reasons. One, local is lekker. I've heard that all my life. It's not local is not lekker. The saying quite clearly goes local is lekker. So I have to believe that is definitely true.
That is absolutely true. Local is lekker. The second reason that I would give why local music is better is because it has many more languages that we're familiar with. If someone sings a song in French, what kind of relevance does that have to my life? A lot of relevance, because French is a beautiful language, the language of love. The other great thing about international music is when you hear it, you feel inspired. You think, oh, there's more outside of this country.
Switch flop.
But the more outside of this country might not be great. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Venga Boys. I mean, it's good for a laugh, but eventually you just wonder when the earth that bus is going to get there. Whereas our songs, such as, I don't know, what is that? The one with the hello, the song which goes that's hello Adele. By Prime Circle.
Oh.
It's hello, hello. I mean, that's relatable. You've all greeted someone before. But that particular song, though, I actually wished it was Goodbye, Goodbye, because I had enough of it the moment I heard it. International music is far better. It's catchier.
Switch.
Yeah, well, international music is much prime circle, more like Prime Schmerkel. Angela Merkel, more like. Love Angela Merkel, and she's all for German music.
Yeah, she's international, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. No, local music is the worst, and I don't listen to any local music apart from perhaps... Civil Twilight, but they're overseas, so whatever, you know, they've moved on. They know their place in the world.
I don't want to change it. I just like Andrew digging this hole.
Yeah, I mean, Jeremy Loops, his music just goes on and on and on and on and on.
I think this has just turned into a conversation about bad local music.
The round is over.
Yeah.
But Simon wins the point for bringing local is lekker back. Yeah. I love that phrase.
It's a good phrase. You don't really hear it much more. This whole quota thing, I mean, no one's asked us. They haven't gone, Brother Street, what is your opinion on this?
No.
I think it's good that there's going to be more local stuff. It's just a debate as to how much local stuff is the right amount. And I hope that they figure out a good
balance. Haven't they said it's going to be like 90% or something?
Yeah, but I don't know if 90% is the way to go. Maybe like 70% local. Because that means more than likely you're going to hear a local track. But you're still going to get a little bit of Taylor Swift on the side.
Are you sure that they're upping the quota and they're not just upping the quito? It's just a typo. Guys, we need to play more quito.
We'll have to do some more research on that one.
Is it a sketch show? No! It's a sketch note show.
Right, I'm introducing this round this week.
What?
Because...
How's this going to work?
Well, I mean, we're not in the usual place, and so you can't draw the usual thing.
No.
But I'm taking advantage of the situation.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. What?
And,
what's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear whether you are ever going to finish that sketch.
Whoa, what's happening here?
Well, look, I can't place my trust in a piece of paper.
Okay.
So, I've got you in my house.
Yeah.
The fridge is but meters away.
Yeah.
I want you to sketch something for Claire while we're here right now.
Once off.
Yeah, once off. And then,
I don't take it to the next week.
No. This is a once off.
Claire's going to be bitterly disappointed when she comes home and looks at the fridge.
Well, I will draw the thing that I can draw.
It may not stay on the fridge, it'll be on the fridge.
Before you go draw this thing, what is the thing that you can draw the best?
Charlie Brown.
Okay. All right.
That's good.
I'm going to draw Charlie Brown.
Plagiarism, but fair enough.
A pencil for
And
you?
I'm going to draw...
You can use your own if you like. That's a clutch pencil.
What's quite nice about this is I've got the clutch pencil with the nibs, whereas in our usual setting, I've just got the nibs.
Yeah.
And it's harder to hold.
I mean, you bought the pens to the usual setting, so don't blame that on...
No, it's not blamed on anyone.
Do you want to use the table and I can hold the mic?
I think I can do it like Men in Black 1 style, very awkwardly.
For the viewer at home... And Dylan is leaned over awkwardly over his little sketchbook. Do you think Claire's going to like this little touch of... It's a nice cheap gift, I guess.
I think she's going to love it.
I should think of this next time. Because I find my wife does like receiving flowers, but I feel a bit like hard... I feel a bit like difficult buying her flowers because I kind of go, this is something that is nice for a couple of days and then it gets progressively not nice and then it gets a bit maybe potentially smelly and then you're really
does
thinking.
Does she enjoy the process of flower arranging?
The thing is, that's the beauty
she
of it.
She does like flower arranging and she does like the flowers being in the place for the, you know, the amount of time that they're alive.
But it's the idea of you are spending money on her that is, in the end, completely useless. And there's a beautiful... part of that.
But what if I rather commission?
It's like I'm wasting money on you.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
I think that gesture in itself is
yeah, weird. I mean, maybe it is that.
And it's not wasting money.
I can't draw hands. Has anyone else in history ever had the same problem. It's really hard to draw hands.
Apart from Leonardo da Vinci, like no one else can do it.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, though, once I just commissioned Dill, R5 maybe, got him to draw Charlie Brown on a piece of paper, then that's a nice good gift because she can put that up, make the space look a bit prettier, and then that will last forever. Unless we have a fire, we're good to go.
Well, I'm not paying you, Dill.
You're not paying me?
No.
Well, that's interesting.
That is interesting.
But at this stage, I'm quite proud of this one. So
it's looking pretty good.
I was thinking of humorously tearing it up on that revelation that you're not paying me. But I'm actually quite interested.
It's really good.
How often do you buy Claire flowers?
I used to buy her flowers very regularly.
Like how regularly? Are we talking like once a month or once
when
two
we were
months?
Dating, it was like once a month, yeah.
Okay, that's very good.
But now it's actually much more infrequent, which is quite bad.
No, say it's good.
It's once good. No, year. It's not good, though.
Just say that you only buy flowers every, like, 3 years. My wife also listens to this, so
yeah.
Claire will at least know you're joking.
No, I'm not.
And then Christine can be like, oh, well, that's normal that he doesn't
buy flowers.
You
remember when I dug myself into a hole earlier? I'm not going to dig you out. I'm still in my hole. I can't help
surely
you.
Surely peering out the top, though.
Yeah, I mean, it can't be a very deep hole.
There we go.
Wow.
What do you think?
That's amazing. Can you sign it?
That is very good.
I can sign it.
It's a bit of a...
Thank you.
I mean, I don't want to be negative here.
Oh, no.
But you kind of drew the smallest picture on the biggest piece of paper.
No, it's perfect.
Because what happened is the Peanuts gang is quite big. So this could be an ongoing thing. I could draw them all.
No, I'm going to cut it out and put it on the fridge.
What are you going to do with the rest of the paper?
I will recycle it or sketch things on it.
There we go. What do you think?
D. Schultz, brilliant.
It's very good.
Thank you.
I'm quite impressed. Well, that was the sketch show.
Liability.
Welcome to Liability. This is where we've prepared a little short talk on a subject. We have put four untrue things into our little talk that the other people have to spot and pick out. Otherwise, the rest is pretty much lies and nonsense. So basically, pay careful attention. Otherwise, you might think you know some facts about a certain subject, but in actual fact, you just know a lot of polony. That's right. We're in South Africa, so I'll say polony and not baloney.
Is that your topic by any chance?
No, it's just that local is lekker. All right. Dylan, let's hear from you.
All right. My talk today is on William Shakespeare.
Ooh, the bard.
The bull.
The bard, the bull, whatever you want to call him. William Shakespeare, born Wilhelm Schubert, is a German-born poet who left the country of his birth as a young boy and headed to England. Don't forget, you can buzz in when you think.
Beep.
Yeah.
I think it's possible that he wasn't born in England and that he did leave whatever country he lived in.
Stratford-upon-Avon.
It's not true. He didn't.
No. Okay.
Andrew, as our scorer, can you keep some scores?
That's I will do that. So Simon gets a negative for that.
I get minus
works,
one,
right?
But don't worry, guys.
It's coming back.
I'm going to build it up.
Yeah. He is said to have never regretted the decision to nationalize in England other than during the England versus Germany World Cup final of 1966. He died 80 years before that. His play titles always contain every vowel in the English language.
I'm gonna. Is it too late to buzz in on the 80 or 90 years before that? I'm gonna buzz in on that.
Can you make a sound then?
Cause beep.
That sounds a lot like Simon's. Can you come up with your own?
What is it,
sound?
Simon? I just want to hear it so that I can
beep.
Okay.
That is definitely fine. So you've buzzed in on he didn't die 80 years before.
Beep. I'm gonna buzz in on the fact that his play titles always include every vowel.
They do not include every vowel.
Okay.
But the sentence follows every vowel in the English language with the obvious exception of Romeo and Juliet. He...
Are you going to double down?
Well, I mean, that would be very sneaky if that is the fact. And then, I'm going to double down. Beep.
That's not true either, because that is the only one that does have all the vowels in it.
I just didn't know that.
Okay. Macbeth, Othello, Hamlet. These have few vowels in them. He wrote within three main genres, but they would often overlap, creating subgenres like Romaji, tragic comedy, and romantic comedy starring Hugh Grant.
Beep. Tragic comedy.
That is correct.
Yay.
Tragicomedy was one of his genres.
Would it also be correct to say that he wrote in three main genres? Because that probably is true.
That is...
Was that just a by fact from the
That is true,
fact?
But I tried to word it so that it was part of the same sentence and not necessarily...
But basically, I can't give myself a point for that. So I'll just
you can,
I'll
but
just
if
go back
Andrew
up
doesn't
to
write it, it doesn't exist. His influence on modern films is obvious. Just take Pulp Fiction, for example, which is loosely based on Hamlet. 10 Things I Hate About You, loosely based on The Tempest.
Beep. 10 Things I Hate About You is based on Shakespeare.
It is, but it's not based on The Tempest.
I thought it might not be.
I've done a little change. That is, so, it's good to pick that up.
So he doesn't get a point there.
He doesn't. I've been very sneaky. Last week I was awful. And I just basically like said four facts and they all got picked up. 10 Things I Hate About You is loosely based on The Taming of the Shrew. And Twilight, which is loosely based on the bowel movements of an elephant. Some words that were coined by Shakespeare include shampoo, bequeathed, zany, turgid, and epileptic.
Beep, beep. I mean, it's probably more than one, but I'm going to go...
It's a list.
I'm going to go for the crazy one and go zany.
Zany is correct.
Oy!
Damn it, I was also going to go for that.
He did coin the word zany.
But you got there before me, so fair enough.
Yeah.
His wife, Anne Hathaway, would later play Fantine in his play Les Miserables. And that's the end of my thing.
You've nice. Done some crazy sneaking in there, because we only got two, I think.
Yes, you got two. You got tragicomedy and zany. He also coined the word epileptic.
Okay.
And his wife was called Anne Hathaway. But it's not the same one.
Well done.
Not that one.
Not that Anne
so
Hathaway.
So at the end of that round, I get 2 points.
Wow, that's nice. Pretty good. I think I'm probably on negative loads.
Yes, you're on -4.
But it's fine, I'll easily pick up some points now with Andrew's lecture.
I'm on one. Oh, it's my turn. Okay, right. So, my lecture... Now, I need to explain a little bit because I don't know how well your Roman history is. But okay. My lecture is on Caligula, who was a Roman emperor between A.D. 37 and 41.
Oh, okay.
Only
true.
4 years. No. I haven't started yet. Right. And a little brief introduction just so that you have an idea of him.
Okay.
He is described as one of history's most iconic bad guys. Caligula ruled Rome for just 4 years, but exhibited enough cruelty and lunacy during his brief reign to live in infamy.
Okay.
So now he's a bad dude.
Okay, he's not. Right. You don't want to be his friend.
No.
But you don't want to be his enemy either.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So here we go. Right. Caligula. He frequently practiced his dance moves in a mirror.
Beep.
Simon.
I believe that's true.
That is not true.
Damn it.
What he did do was practice grimacing in a mirror. In his campaign in Britain, he made his soldiers attack the sea itself.
That's true.
That is true. Nice.
I have no points.
I've done that.
And he told them to collect dead fish as spoils of war. He made laws public by putting them on boards high on pillars and in a very small writing, rendering them essentially illegible in order to ensnare the public.
Beep. I believe that he put them on boards quite high up.
That is true. He did do that.
For Andrew to read.
Yeah, that's why Andrew likes
it.
I do
quite like it.
I admire a man who makes tall signs.
When there weren't enough condemned criminals to fight the lions in the arena, Caligula ordered random spectators to be dragged from the benches into the arena.
Beep. I believe that to be true as well.
That is true.
Oh, man, Simon, you're doing
clawing,
what I did the
clawing
previous
back the,
time.
Clawing back the points.
Just listing facts.
Sensitive about his premature baldness, he declared it a capital crime for anyone to look down on him from a high place as he passed by. Sometimes he ordered those with a fine head of hair to be hung by their hair for days at a time. In his own...
I like the fine head of hair one. Not the baldness one. It's the other way around, isn't it?
It is the other way around, so unfortunately...
Oh, I was going to beep, beep. I'm going to beep. No, I was going to do that. I promise. Oh, okay, fair enough.
In his own special temple, he set up a life-size golden statue of an ostrich because he regarded it as the most noble bird. And those are the facts about Caligula.
So it sounds like you didn't get anything through there.
I don't think so. Did you guys guess all of them? Well, I did, apart from the premature, the baldness one.
Well, I was going to guess that until you made it impossible for me to guess it.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I know.
I've got another fact about him.
Well, how can I believe that?
Okay. During an auction, a senator fell asleep on his bench, nodding his head. Caligula told the auctioneer to count each nod as a bid. When the senator awoke, he learned that he had unwittingly bought 13 gladiators for a total of 90,000 gold pieces.
That's cool.
That's a good fact.
I like this guy. He seems like quite fun.
Yeah, and also murdery.
Well, quite murdery, but like with a jolly...
Yeah,
or a creative spirit behind it.
Yeah, maybe.
He gets joy out of his murdery.
He does, yes.
He's maybe as fun as all our friends, but you're right, the murdery factor is probably a bit higher than most of our friends.
These are also the funner facts about him. There are some darker facts that I encourage you to go and research.
Some more DC facts.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Gotcha. All right. Now, this I'm going to do a little talk now on one of my favorite people from when I was growing up. And this
is Postman.
This is going to probably be easier for Andrew, because I feel like Andrew recently did a little bit of relation to Elvis stuff in the quiz, but I really wanted to talk about Elvis nonetheless.
Okay.
So, sorry, Dill.
Andrew, that's all right.
Andrew might know a bit more about Elvis than you do. All right. Elvis Presley was actually born with the name Chief Commissioner Gordon. His parents, the Gordons, were...
Yes. His parents were the Gordons.
No.
Damn it.
His parents, the Gordons, were big fans of the Batman comics, and so gave him this unique name, hoping that Bob Kane would eventually name a character after him. Huh? Switcheroo there.
Yeah.
Yeah, a fun little switcheroo. Do you want to buzz in for that?
I don't know what's going on.
Growing up, Chief Commissioner hated his name, so it's no surprise that when he turned 18, he changed his whole name to Elvis Gordon Presley.
Elvis Gordon Presley?
No, it was Elvis Aaron Presley.
Damn it.
Elvis released 104 albums in his career, but only 63 songs. If you think this doesn't sound like a good album to song ratio, you're correct. This is because Elvis was forced to release albums due to a contractual obligation, meaning he'd often release 20 versions of the same song on one album, or albums with the exact same songs but in different orders, or once a whole live album of him just talking in between songs. Elvis recorded...
I think he was contractually obliged to release albums. And leading into one of those things.
Are you going to have to pick the one?
Well, one of the first two.
Okay.
not the talking between songs one.
Right, so you want release 20 versions of the same song on one album.
Yeah.
Or albums with the exact same songs but in different orders.
I'll go with the same songs, different orders.
You are incorrect.
Oh, man, I'm dying here.
Elvis recorded 15 songs with the word blue in the title.
Beep, 11. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, why not? Maybe he likes blue in songs.
Are you sure you don't want to hear the rest of the options?
Okay, I'll take your advice and listen to the rest of the options.
Elvis recorded 15 songs with the word blue in the title, 11 songs with the word skedaddle, and one song with the phrase... over-the-shoulder boulder holder.
I'm going to stick with my answer.
And you would be correct.
Yay!
Before Elvis became a famous musician and actor, he auditioned for the following. An amateur gospel quartet called the Song Fellows, a deliberately bad bagpipes act called the Wrong Bellows, and an amateur porn film called the Dong Swallows.
I'll have the first one, hoping that you have put a truth in there.
You are correct.
Yay!
Elvis was really good friends with Oprah Winfrey, John Lennon, and Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash?
You are correct.
Yay.
And actually, the continuation of the fact was, we'd all have fun impersonating each other. Apparently, Elvis used to impersonate Johnny and vice versa.
Uh-huh.
The TV show... Elvin and the Chipmunks was originally going to be called Elvis and the Chipmunks, but as Elvis was allergic to the small woodland creatures, the show had to go forth without him.
No, not biting.
I'm not in.
All right. That is the end of those facts. All right, so I only managed to sneak through one little fact in there, and that is Elvis released an entire album of between song stage banter called Having Fun with Elvis on Stage just to fulfill a contractual obligation in 1974.
Oh,
it's
awesome.
Literally just an album of him talking.
People love behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that album being incredibly good.
Putting it on for a dance party.
Yeah.
End of a wedding.
I love it when he says this. Everyone, say along.
Yeah. The chorus is coming.
Well, I can reveal the scores for liability. In last place, we have Simon on minus two.
Ooh.
In second place, we have Dylan on zero.
Yes.
And winning is me on four.
Wow. Four.
Even though
I mean,
you got almost all my facts.
Seven, just saying.
Match facts. I see you there with your little pad next to you, scribbling ones and twos.
I feel that I have built up some sort of...
In the quiz, maybe.
In the quiz.
But is, here you're like just desperate to win.
Is match fixing still a thing? Are people still doing it?
Yes.
There we go. I trapped him. Trapped him into the mission
Very
of
nice.
Guilt.
Yeah, I heard that. It's recorded.
Have you guys ever bet on anything?
I did a horse betting thing, but it was like in house, and it was an old race. And
okay.
Old
race, what do you mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what
it
I mean.
It was a race that had happened before.
Yeah, but nobody knew what race. It's hard to explain. Don't ask me questions.
That sounds like an interesting thing to do.
It was basically like...
It's like betting who's going to win the 1995 World Cup.
Yeah, except that there are loads of horse races all the time that aren't as famous.
Yes,
it's more like betting on the... You know, some school who played a rugby game yeah. that same year.
On Herschel versus Bishops.
Yeah.
My money's on Bishops.
And I won my money back, which is not actually that great, yeah. but it was a fun night.
I quite enjoyed... I think I've never really officially bet on something. I never walked into one of those bet places and gone, give me 700 rand on, I don't know, the Stormers and the score. I've never done that kind of thing. But once... what happened is we were watching one of these soccer or rugby matches, one of these sports, one of these things that they have on the TV that men watch. And just with a group of friends, we kind of all placed like what we thought the score would be. And then the person who's going to get closest to it got like, you know, the pool of money that had been put in. And everyone put like 20 rand each or something.
Sure.
And it was lots of fun. And I could kind of see it gave
Makes
me a little
sport more interesting to watch.
Yeah, it gave me a little bit of a positive view of something which is normally, you know, ruining people's lives.
Right.
So it was quite nice having a little bit of a...
But did you win or lose?
I lost, but I still enjoyed the sort of tension of like, oh, actually, you know, I might win something at the end of this thing. Or, you know, it just made it a bit more exciting.
But you know that if you'd gone and bet more the next time around, you could have won back that... initial loss and then so
that's
but
probably
if you
true.
Lose that one obviously
you gotta keep
you
going
you just gotta bet a bit more
no I mean I know the pitfalls but
I'm just saying if you found it exciting at the fact that you lost I'm surprised you didn't carry on
I don't know you got a good point I might have to leave early from this podcast
if you hated it
there's a game on tonight.
Andrew do you dabble in the gambles?
No, I mean I've played poker for very small amounts of money.
Oh, you pay for money. I normally pay for smarties.
Yeah, I've done that too. It just gets a bit stickier than money does.
Long night.
And the other thing is when you have like a pool at work or at school
you
or whatever,
pool at work.
And then everyone pays in. Everyone pays in $20 for like the World Cup.
Yeah,
and then someone allocates you a team.
Okay.
Like you know, like the draw. So then all the team names go into the hat, and then you just pick one out, and you've just paid $20. And the person who wins, like draws New Zealand, instantly wins.
Yeah.
Like I drew Tonga one year. It's like, well, I'm not going to pay any attention.
There
now.
Should be good odds, kind of, to how much money you have to put in according to the team you pull out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I don't like that randomness. That's not good.
That doesn't sound good. Forgive me if I've said this on the podcast before, but my only other kind of big winning experience with gambling was when I was a kid, I went to Gold Reef City. I think it's Gold Reef City. Is that the one in Joburg?
And you won at life.
Not Gold Reef City. Sorry. I went to the other one, the Sun City.
Yeah, the one with
that. And they have that casino attached. And I had like 50 cents with me or whatever, which wasn't a lot back then. Mm-hmm. Isn't a lot right now. So
yeah, it's still 50
in
cents.
In many ways, 50 cents have stayed the same. It's the bigger sums that have changed. And so I obviously wasn't allowed in the casino because I was a little kid, but I got my granddad to use his 50 cents in a slot machine.
Yeah.
Back in the day when you would still put in the actual money into the slot machine and actual money would still come out of it.
Yeah.
Not this whole like you put in a card and you go, oh, that's meant to be winning
Andrew's
money.
Andrew's buzzed in.
And my mom was heartbroken because essentially I was standing there watching my granddad do this. He picked the machine, put 50 cents in and won 50 rand. And she was kind of going, oh, flip. Now I'm going to have a son that gets addicted to gambling from a really early age.
And what did you do with your winnings?
I just bought a CD.
Please tell me you split with Grandad at least the 50 cents. Well, he did all the work.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't think I did.
Oh, man.
I must probably write an apology.
Write him the equivalent check. Yeah. 500 bucks, damn it. I played the slots once. It was a Star Wars themed one.
Okay.
Put 50 bucks in. Within about 28 seconds, I'd run out of money.
Yeah.
I don't understand them. I just press lights.
Yeah.
Lights flash and I'm excited, and then it goes, oh, you've won nothing. Come back again. It'll be fun.
Yeah, that generally speaking, ever since that day, has been my experience. And it feels like they have taken the joy away from, like, no money actually falling down and it just being all card-based.
Yeah.
Because it does really, like, when you win, it's just like you're watching a calculator go up, and it's like when you lose, you're watching it dip back down again.
They should at least have a stock of just metal things in the back that drop and, like, you know, out of a basket, so that you get that sound, that tangible sound of clinking money.
It's like people that read books and Kindles.
Yeah, totally. They're the losers of the casino.
The casino story that I have is not very exciting, and it's going to make me sound super nerdy. But in Matric, when we were getting ready for final exams, my class of maths students went away on a weekend camp, on a maths camp.
Okay.
And we did maths the whole weekend.
How is this and gambling?
On an aside, there was a foosball table, and I didn't lose a single game the whole weekend. Okay. Anyway, and so we did maths, and this was, we were in second set, so, you know, like, everyone was quite good at maths.
I thought you said this was going to be boring.
Yeah, I know, it's not so exciting. Anyway, at
I'm
one
waiting
point,
for this to calm down.
At one point in the weekend, towards the end of the weekend, the two maths teachers took us to Mykonos, which I think is a casino.
Greece. Yeah, that's quite hectic.
Club Mykonos. Hectic trip. Club Mykonos. And for some reason, we were taken there, and we kind of wandered around the casino, oddly. And we didn't do anything, but I wonder...
You didn't do anything? This is the worst story I've ever heard.
Horrible gambling story.
I wonder if we were one step away of a kind of now you see me moment, where they get a group of people, like young whiz kids, and take them to the casino and count cards and make a huge killing. Yeah. And at the last second, our math teachers just, like, backed out.
I just
like,
learned,
no, we can't do this.
Learned two things from me. The first thing is that you haven't seen Now You See Me. Because the movie goes nothing like
I'm
that.
I'm talking about... it's a different movie. It's with Edward Norton.
Yeah, that's not called...
What's
now
that
you
called?
See
me. 21. 21.
Yeah.
21.
I have no idea if that's even correct. You're probably thinking of Winnie the Pooh.
Fine, you can cut it. I don't care.
No, I'm leaving it in now.
Maths camp.
I'm going to make you seep in the story.
I think we should call you Maths Camp from now on. Second set only.
Is that Claire coming home from the gym?
It sounds
like a car just drove in and the door's opening. It's not the door opening. It's...
Quiz!
It's quiz time! This week's quiz is around Queen Latifah, otherwise known as Quiz Latifah.
Sorry, just pause there. What made you think of Queen Latifah when you're doing prep for the quiz?
I mean, I think about
sassy woman.
I think about Queen Latifah on a daily basis. So we're going to start with Queen Latifah and one. And question one.
There's your answer.
Yeah. Question one is, what tattoo does she have three instances of?
Beep.
Dylan.
A lion's paw.
Ooh, incorrect.
Beep.
What?
I'm going to go
like
for like
just interesting.
Maybe a crown?
No.
She's like a queen?
Ah, I see. That was clever.
A heart?
No. It's one of these kind of generic tattoos.
So it's not going to be Uru Akashe Akuva or whatever the thing is written on
her.
No. I mean, she may have these tattoos, but she has three of one specific thing.
Beep. Birds.
Yes. No, is it correct, Dylan? Simon.
Oh, I was going to go for eagle.
No.
Beep. Unicorn.
Does fly, though.
Stars.
Incorrect,
beep.
Dylan.
Phoenix.
Incorrect, Simon.
It does. Beep. Aeroplane.
Oh, incorrect. Wait. Beep. Dragon.
Aeroplane. No, smaller. Much smaller.
Beep. Dragonfly.
Incorrect,
beep.
Dylan.
Budgie.
Incorrect, Simon.
Beep. Parrot.
Incorrect, Simon.
Are we going bigger or smaller?
Smaller.
Smaller than that. A fly.
Bigger than that.
Bigger than a fly, but
beep,
smaller than a budgie.
Is the right answer, Simon.
Yeah.
I'm
done.
Sorry. Dragonfly is so close.
Wow.
Very different.
I'd be very bleak if I got given a dragonfly. But butterfly, I like it for a day. It's like flowers.
Right. What vehicles does she have 5 and 2 of, respectively?
Cars, Dylan. Motorbikes.
Motorbikes.
Incorrect. Simon, you are correct in one instance, whereas she has 5 motorbikes.
Helicopters.
No.
Vespas.
What is the right answer?
Does she only drive around on bikes and scooters?
Unbelievable. She has 5 motorcycles and 2 Vespas.
Well, she only wants 2 wheels, that Queen Latifah.
Well done, yeah. Simon. Okay, the third question is, what item does she always travel with?
Beep.
A handbag.
No.
Probably.
Well,
a cell phone.
Probably has a few different ones.
Cell phone.
Incorrect. Come on. Beep. Get think out of the thing.
A comb.
No. I'm going for a technical answer here. I want
beep, an umbrella, Ella. No, it's a different artist, but it was fun saying.
No, Simon.
A boombox.
No.
Beep. Chewing gum.
No, I'll give you a clue. There's a few on the shelf.
Beep a Kindle.
No.
A book.
It is a book.
Beep
but
letters of her names. Oh, the Bible.
Is the right answer.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Okay, and the fourth...
I'm just getting loads
of your name.
The fourth question is, name another license apart from her car and bike license that she owns.
Beep.
Simon.
Boat license.
It's incorrect.
Pilot's license.
Incorrect. Simon was closer.
A music license.
No, it's incorrect.
Beep. A yacht license.
A record deal.
You're going the wrong size. You're
beep
incorrect.
A dinghy license.
Incorrect.
A jet ski license.
Yes.
Finally,
right answer.
On the board.
And if you can tell me what country
beep.
The jet ski license
Australia.
Is. No.
Alaska.
No, it has been
beep. Canada.
It has been mentioned in this podcast like today. We
Africa.
Mentioned this country.
Oh, Greece.
No.
Mykonos.
No, not that.
I said,
not that mention. It's European, and it is a beautiful language.
French
is the right answer. He buzzed.
Yeah, he did buzz.
So Dylan gets the point. She has a French jet ski license. I didn't know if they had them. Right, round 2 is filming good. You need to tell me which film or TV series were they not in a producing capacity.
In a producing capacity.
Okay,
this
but
gets harder every single
it
time.
It does get harder, but I've taken it down to 4. Okay, so it's only 4.
Yeah, but all still, right. 4 things I haven't heard
chance.
Of. And
okay.
5 things I haven't heard
okay.
of.
Okay, well, it's expanding your knowledge. Yeah. Right. Beauty Shop, Life Preserver, Wifey, Broken Famous.
Beep. I'm going for Wifey. I don't think she produces Wifey.
Wifey.
Beauty Shop.
Beauty Shop. Unfortunately, you're both incorrect. It was Life Support.
No, you're right. This is easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I win that round.
I hope
right.
listeners at home got that.
Round
got
3.
Got anything from that.
Round 3 is finish the...
Chicago song.
Quote.
It's just a rule.
Yeah.
Here's the quote. I am a strong woman with or without this other person. With or without this job and with or without these
beep
people. Incorrect.
Muscles.
Incorrect, but kind of related.
Beep breasts.
Incorrect.
Oh. That was fun. Shackles.
Incorrect. It's an item of clothing.
Beep sleeves.
No.
Polo necks.
No.
Belt.
No.
Beep. What's a low cut top?
No.
Shoes.
No.
Beep handbag.
No.
How
beep
is
glasses. Sunglasses. Beep
gloves?
Hats.
No.
Isn't she into hats?
No, it's below the torso.
Beep belt.
Pants.
Yes, Dylan, you're the
with
right,
or without
right
these
answer.
Pants.
With or without these tight pants.
Is she really known for her tight pants?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I thought she was most known for being fairly buxom.
She is buxom.
Second quote. I am not one to turn down...
Beep. Pants.
Madison Incorrect. Avenue.
No, I will give you a clue.
Beep money.
This is a supper item, something that you
beep
eat
pizza.
For supper. No.
Burgers.
No.
Beep. Fish and chips.
It's not. It's something that you would make at home. It's quite a simple dish to make.
Macaroni
lasagna.
Cheese.
Is the right answer, Dylan. Well done.
So
mac
close.
And cheese.
Lasagna basically is the mac and cheese of the ocean.
And the last quote is, be bold. Be brave enough to be your...
Beep yourself.
Best self.
I'm going to keep buzzing. Keep going.
Greatest version of you.
Beep who you are.
Your best friend.
Beep...
Be bold enough to be
right,
your
I'm going
to
give it to Simon
to be.
Because he got closer first. It was your true self.
He said so yourself, and you'd ended your line on your. So that would be a terrible quote. Your yourself.
Your true self.
Yeah, no, I know what the actual.
I know, but then you just built on his suggestion. Yeah. So, no.
Oh, like it was not obvious that it was going somewhere with self in it.
Right.
All I'm saying is that Simon offered up a look, grammatically just, poor.
Dylan's
quote.
Just upset that I'm going to win the quiz again.
And round four is distant relative, and it's motorcycles
because
she loves. She does seem to like motorcycles.
That's right. True.
Beep right.
Two wheeler.
Beep. So, be
four
quiet.
By four.
Be quiet. Question one is, what did the very first Harley Davidson motorcycle use for a carburetor?
Beep. An onion.
A hedgehog?
I will give you a clue. In
I
that
have no idea what a carburetor is.
A toaster.
It's a bit that mixes the air and fuel that goes
beep.
Into the engine.
Tupperware.
No, what did
a
you
tin
say?
Can. I said
is the right answer.
Yeah, I said a tin can.
You are correct. a tomato can, a tomato soup
perfect.
Can. Yeah. Okay, question two is, Vespa means what in Italian? Dylan.
Relax.
Beep. I'm going to go for like small.
It's not.
Like tiny.
No, you're incorrect and you didn't beep. So
beep tiny.
No.
Dylan. Cool.
Beep quick.
No.
Fast.
No.
Beep quick fast.
No, it's actually, it's an insect.
Beep. Butterfly.
No.
Beep. Dragonfly.
No.
Beep. Fly.
No.
Spider.
No.
Beep. Wasp.
Is the right answer, Simon.
Well done.
Wasp. The third question is, Japan built a motorcycle
spider's
called...
Spider's not even an insect.
called the Toto, which is powered by what?
Beep. Vespers.
no.
It's powered by I don't thought. Know.
Beep the
no.
sun.
No. No.
Not the sun.
No.
Beep water.
No.
Hydraulics.
No.
Vegetable oil.
No, kind of getting closer. It's a bit gross.
Beep blood.
Sweat.
Is incorrect.
Tears.
Is incorrect.
Sweat.
Beep
incorrect.
Urine.
Yeah, it's human waste. So
beep urine
yeah.
and feces. That's
yeah.
hectic.
Yeah, just urine.
Yeah, I think I'm
going
to give it to you on urine.
You probably should.
Yeah.
Simon deserved that one.
The last
got
question
it.
Is, technically, up to how many motorcycles can fit into the same parking space occupied by one car?
Beep. I'm going to go for...
Let's just answer wins.
Six. No, seven. Seven's my final
seven.
Answer.
Eight.
Eight. And I can reveal that with exactly the right number... Dylan is correct on however Simon has won the quiz.
There's
7
no
points
way.
To 6.
There's no chance.
Oh, I've won the quiz again. I've won the quiz again.
Oh, damn it.
Sucks to beat Dylan because I won the quiz
what
again.
What was the score?
It was 7 points to 6.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting how clever I am.
Yeah.
It's a new year for me. I've gone from never winning the quiz to sometimes winning the quiz. This is a pretty good feeling.
It's a good feeling.
If I win again next week, it's a hat trick. And then
Oh, sports
reference. Can I get a certificate?
Of hat tricks I used to get.
Yeah, don't
three,
know.
Three threes in a row.
As all my friends
and then
that watch
of those.
As all friends that watch sports go, you're only as good as your last game, eh? So
I guess they do say
so,
that.
So I'm just I'm as good as today's game, which is the winner. So,
yeah,
it's great to be here. Great
didn't,
to be in
didn't
the podcast.
Win liability, so
yeah,
neither did I. Bye everyone.
Please don't break things on your way out.
Alright, bye.